You know, one of the things I wanted to share is, you know, we talked about the trip to heaven, but, you know, it's the trip coming back that that faith and you know, the fears and everything that I was about to experience what I became manifested itself in my life after I came back. And what I mean by that is, when I was there, one of the things that became very clear and evident to me is this thing of time, that there was no time to speak of, that time didn't exist as we know it here. And yet one of the things we are always dealing with or always concerned with is God's timing in our lives. And I do want to share that a little bit because, you know, one of the things that what I'm doing now or where I'm at, and I truly want you to understand is just, and I don't say this flippantly, just because I had been given the grace and the opportunity to go to heaven and yet come back against my will or desire, to be honest with you. I mean, it was not my time, and I understood that, and then there was more work to be done and whatever. But I did lose any fear that I had. Now, I didn't lose the fear of the Lord. I lost the fear, and what I would rather put it is, I was filled with faith that it went beyond any understanding that I had before. Now, you know, we operated continually in the supernatural with deliverance and healings, but I was never one. You know, in Matthew 3, it really talks about our ability as we are born again to be able to walk in and out of heaven's realm. This is not a future thing. This is a present thing. And this ability that I was able to understand and became filling with the faith and the presence of the Lord. And so as I sat there in bed, as the doctor came in afterwards, he was clearly explaining to me that, you know, I had a single-digit opportunity or chance of survival, but more likely than not, I will be living a life as a para or quadriplegic. As a survivor, you know, I was rushed over to the other hospital, and that's where Linda and I, and this was Metro, which I didn't know was, at that time, known today as one of four top spinal cord rehabilitation facilities. Well, I ran into, and in God's way of working this, he had one of the therapists down there happened to go to a Christian school that my kids went to, so she was strong in her faith. We met a sociologist being strong in his faith. So we were surrounded by people of faith. And we nailed the scriptures on the wall in the hospital, and I will honestly say to you that I had, and you know, the prayers of my wife and her, you know, I mean, it was all, I had zero fear that I would be relegated to a life of being para or quadriplegic, that the Lord would fully restore my body and my nervous system and everything back to what it was, and a lot of it came out of understanding that as the occupational therapist and the hand therapist and all the therapists I had there came to agreement that it wouldn't be 2 years until they would know what movement I would regain, if any, and to what degree that would become. And what was really messed up in that was that it wasn't but a day later that my legs started moving. And, you know, movement came in my right arm. And really what came out of this is a couple of things I wanted to share with you. One of the things that I think is critical, we've heard this. You know, we've all heard this. We all, probably many of you live this. If you ever read James, and I know you all have had, is faith plus action creates a supernatural transaction. You know, it's that level of faith you walk in, and it's the attitude that you approach the action that resolves in a supernatural transaction from God. And so we operated in a faith that was extreme. And naturally, as most people have said, talking to them, sharing with them, oh yeah, sure, Tom, you can. I mean, look what you've seen and experienced. But irregardless, to this day, I still have to resist the enemy and have him flee. I still deal with issues just because I had that relationship, had that experience, does not mean that we don't have certain struggles that I've got to capture and say, hey, wait, you know, that's the enemy. I need to resist him, and he will flee. And we've gone through that. The last time I did the testimony, I was going through about 2 months where the enemy was literally trying to close my vocal cords, my throat. I couldn't breathe, swallow. Went to all the specialists, and they found nothing. I knew it was a spiritual issue. And it was a battle that I had to go through, and it was a tremendous fight. And I know you've been through spiritual battles, and they're sometimes they're far worse than the physical battles you've got to fight through. And at the other end, we overcome that. So even though we had that experience, there's still that battle that we go through continually being here. And although there are moments that I could have manifested frustration, disappointment, state of mind, I never did. And I say it honestly, is that the other aspect of that is when I understood heaven operates on a different time schedule, and I firmly came to understand that even to this day, Linda and I operate not on our schedule, but we understand God has his schedule. And we don't get disappointed or frustrated in that because we know that is also a manifestation of the faith we have in him for what he will do and manifest in our lives. And so the two things that we really did is that fear has gone, faith was filled, the void, and that we understood that what's so critical is this timing thing. So we have learned more than anything to relax in his timing, and it has become a sign of a strong faith in God's purpose in our life. And he has that. I mean, we have seen that time and time again where we're at some critical stage and a check comes in. We're at a critical stage and healing's there. I mean, I had to speak in front of businessmen and women in Orlando, and here I had my throat totally closed. I couldn't barely get a whisper out, but the boldness of the action with the faith he had created a supernatural where my throat was totally open at that time. So you've got to operate in that, and I've learned to operate in that more and more coming out of my experience. You know, and I think as I reflect back is one of the things he really wanted to show me, because I'll be honest with you, I was an engineer by trade, a physicist. I did not, patience was not in the dictionary, Tim. It was one of those Christian words that was removed in mine. And I had to realize and gain it, but gain it through the understanding of God's timing in our lives and his purpose and why at times, you know, if it was under my timing, we'd be a real mess. In his timing, we're blessed. And I wanted to share some of those things at the time, but that is really one of the key things as I reflect back and look at where we are today. I'm essentially 1 year from coming home from the hospital. I, according to the therapist, I would have had one more year to determine what I could move and what I can't move. The only thing that is not working well is some of the stabilizer muscles, some of the, that are much finer nerves, go to, but those are starting to come back. I'm starting to be able to do movements that I could not do before. I am lifting weight with those movements now, which they had suggested that I could not do. I pray for the one individual that they wanted to bring in. It wanted to bring a guy in that went through the similar type of surgery and was productive, but still could not move his arms above his shoulders, couldn't move, had a lot of lack of movement. After 2 weeks in the hospital, decided not to bring him in because he'd get depressed seeing how far I advanced. So I keep lifting him up in prayer in that. One of the other things I experienced and I just wanted to share is that being open to prayer and how the Lord wants to use you. I mean, I've been in intercessory prayer. Poor Linda, I must sometimes keep her up. And today she said, you know, I'm so used to it. I actually have to think about it, but all through the night I'm even though dead asleep, that's not a good word, but even though asleep, I am constantly praying in tongues and praying in intercessory, and there are times, even to this week, where I have been translated to other areas, especially my experiences, especially been in the Middle East, where I have, when ISIS was coming through, I found myself in a mountain above or a hill above others and witnessing and praying and witnessing armies of angels around some of these cities that today have been liberated from ISIS. And so I've been used in that realm as well as used of finding myself in a hospital room with a sick child. To this day, I can explain it only because biblically it's happened, and why me, I have no idea. I'm not, sometimes I feel like I'm Paul as the greatest sinner of all, and yet the Lord uses me and has you and used many, many others in such a way. But being open to how he wants to use you and what his desires. We're all meant to be, leaders in the community, and the key leaders are in prayer continually. And when you understand the spiritual warfare that goes on, especially, excuse me, when we look at what's going on today at the federal government, we are called to pray for our leaders. I know some of us don't care who some of our leaders are. And that's irregardless, we still got to pray for them because the damage that can be done to this country, to individuals, groups, is tremendous based on the wrong kings, and we saw that in Israel. Now, in Jeremiah, one of the other points that was shared, and the two key people I did talk to in heaven were Jeremiah and Paul. And Jeremiah clearly stated to me that we were in his times again, that our country was as if like Israel. And that was not, as we know, that was not a good time. They were involved in everything other than worshiping the Lord. And so we need to turn. We need to turn from those wicked ways and pray and be standards that are raised up. I don't know if there's any questions. I know Tim said there are some questions that some people may have.
I'm sorry. Brother Tom, I wanted to ask a question as to what in your whole experience with the Lord and in heaven, what consciousness of sin or past failure did you experience, or did you, while you were in that experience?
I think one of the things that I've come to know, or at least have a sense of understanding, is especially reading some of the books after I got back and saying, okay, who else did this happen to or experience? And I found a very kinship to many of them. It's not always the same story, but, you know, the Lord has us there for a different purpose. I really do believe each time there's something he shares with us that he wants to be brought back. But one of the things I felt that was common with the people I've talked to that have gone and ones that have read their books is that going to heaven, you really have a sense of you don't deserve to be there, period. But then the ones that went to hell and were brought back out had a sense that they did belong there. I mean, it was very interesting that, you know, the fact that you really understood that if it wasn't for grace, you would not have any foothold in heaven. If there wasn't any particular sin or lack of performance from some aspect of obedience or whatever, but there was a tremendous feeling when I first got there that of not deserving to be there. And when the word says that he will wipe our tears away, there that comes a time where I really believe is part of what he's talking about, is that the deep sorrow for not, you know, living a life that was at another level or doing the things that would have brought on other crowns, if you will. You have a sense of that, and I think that was the sense I had, and it was, I don't want to say quickly dissolved, but the love that came from him and the presence that was so overwhelming drowned that out, you know, pretty quick. But there was that, definitely that feeling of, you know, I've done nothing to earn this.
I have a question.
Okay.
When did you have this experience? I kind of came in maybe 5 minutes after the conference call started, but I did hear the first part that something happened to you physically.
Yes.
And that's when you...
You want me to go deeper? Remember, I'm an engineer. You got to be
good. Yeah. It's getting good. I know that much.
I had played football at the highest level and for a lot of years. And besides that, I was alternate on the 1980 Olympic team as a discus thrower. So I was, my upbringing was fully focused upon getting great grades in school, not good ones. I mean, if we came home with a B, it wasn't a good day. And then the other level of, I guess, meeting, you know, and this was a works thing, was that, you know, we were athletes, and we performed at the highest level or just didn't participate in the sport. And so I do believe over the years I had developed some arthritis in the upper shoulder neck region, and which was shared by some of the doctors along the way, you know, lack of movement here and there. But I think it deteriorated so much that I was lifting weights on a Sunday morning, which I would, and then Linda and I would grab breakfast and head to church. And I felt a pulled muscle in the back of my neck, and that's all it felt like, to be real honest. There was no real pain. It was just this numbing feeling. It wasn't until later in the week, though, it was Tuesday, I coached high school varsity football, and the pain started, tightness in the shoulders, and I didn't know if it was a heart attack or what it was. You know, I had all these symptoms. I come to find out over the next couple of days, you know, one emergency room saying you just slept on it wrong, then the other one gave me an MRI. By Friday, I was being life-flighted to the Cleveland Clinic. I had disintegrated my C5 vertebra, and my neck cavity was full of staph infection, completely through the neck down into the shoulder region. And my spinal cord was exposed to the staph infection. So I was being life flighted there with a 2-3% chance of survival, you know, for the next 2 days. And went in for 3 surgeries over the next 4 days. And then it was the 3rd surgery that I found myself at one point standing in front of my, you know, group of people at first. And I recognized them as the doctors. And I will say this is I felt more alive than you feel at any time in my life. You know, when you leave this body, I mean, it was just energy and just, I mean, light is energy, you know, I mean, so it was just, I felt so good and I was yelling at him. I thought like, hey, I'm over here. And then I looked down and there my body was on the table and I realized this is not a good thing. And then it was within a flash, a blink of an eye, that I found myself being, I had this sense of movement, but I found myself very quickly standing in front of a mansion, and I knew that I knew that I was in heaven at that time. And real key to that was the 2 angels on either side of me were tip-offs on that part. I looked at the one smallish one, I say smallish, she was my size, and then the other one was about 18-foot tall, warrior-type angel, built gold braids across a sword that was as tall as I am, 6'2", 6'3". I mean, it was every bit my height. And I looked at the smaller one. It has some, is this Kansas? And they actually, some of them have a sense of humor up there. They kind of laugh and say, no, this is heaven. And I realized that I was in for a change of, I guess, my plans for the next day were changed, roughly.
Brother Tom?
Yeah.
I'd like to ask if you could share with us what the worship is like in heaven. If you could just describe that or share with us what worship is like compared to, you know, even what we know here on earth.
Well, it's better than any choir I've heard here. It is constant because you're in a very presence of God. I know, you know, Tim has shared with me the level of that you guys search for and the presence that you seek out. It is when you understand the very presence of God being just overwhelming our bodies. And I shared with this last, and there may be some people on that were not on the last presentation, but when I was up there, it felt like when his presence came over me after the initial, you know, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. I don't deserve this, was this love and presence of the Lord that was like if you had an old sponge that was all spider web encased, it was on a shelf for years, you dip it into the water, and the water soaks into every crevice of the sponge. That's exactly what his presence and love does to our spirit. You know, so you can understand why that very presence would not have been a healthy thing for Moses. That's why he had to turn his back and be in the crevice. I mean, our bodies couldn't handle the outside presence of the Lord like that, but feeling that, you know, so when you talk about worship, you've got to begin with that because it's so overwhelming. All you want to do is praise. Now I'm going to share that. Was I singing praise songs 24/7 when I was up there? Well, I was only up there for about a half hour, so the answer to that's no. But the thing that I realize is that there is constant music and singing going on, and we're constantly joining in, and it is always over present continually. There are things that go on. As I was walking through, there are groups of people that are studying. There's, you know, Paul, when I met him, was teaching a group of about a half a dozen people by the river. You know, Jeremiah was walking with a group, and they were sharing. So there's, there were people working. There were people working on mansions and they're building New Jerusalem. You know, so there's so much activity going on, but in the very midst of all that, there is music and worship that continually goes on to, you know, towards that throne room. And that's where, when I came out of talking to Paul, and we were walking up this little mall, I could hear clearly the Revelation song. And I'll be honest, I knew that song had come out probably about 6-7 months earlier than when I was up there. But the reality of it is, I had not heard it or did it resonate with me yet until I came back here. And then when I heard it, I continued to break down. I'm a mess. I mean, he did a work on my heart that I have to continually work on here through that presence and the worship and that went on. And I hate to even admit it, but a tear comes up when Linda and I watch chick flicks, but that's the last you'll ever hear that. But it is, the worship itself is all encompassing, continual. I mean, when they're working, you praise them. I mean, your work is your praise. Everything you do is praise when it's unto the Lord. So everything they were doing up there is a sense of praise.
Did you understand? You had full understanding when you were there? What was going on? What it was, the purpose of it?
Say that again.
When you were in heaven, did you have an understanding? Like, did you understand, like you said, they were building New Jerusalem? You knew that? Like, you had an understanding of what was going on and the purpose of it? And a full understanding, like, I don't know how to express it, but you had a full understanding of God. Not like you ever understood everything about him, but I don't know how to explain it with words, really. You understood?
Well, in Corinthians, it talks about that, which is, you know, that our knowledge will become perfect. And when I was up there, I realized something that became very clear to me a couple times, and it was actually funny at one point. But what I didn't understand, the angel explained to me, but to a great degree, I understood much of it because that knowledge that Corinthians talks about, I had gained. And there wasn't the questions and the doubt, the spiritual. There were even things in the sciences that I understood that I didn't understand down here. And the interesting thing, the one part I thought was funny and a little odd was the fact that when we were amongst all the aborted babies and the young babies and all that, these kids that even 2 months old, month old, you know, walked around like adults. And yet they could debate Aristotle in their wisdom, you know, and they're talking to you. And I thought it was really odd because, you know, I hear these, you know, they're talking to you and we don't communicate up there like we communicate here. You communicate with your heart. Everything's done with, you know, through there. So all the languages, you understand everything. There's not a language you don't understand or a communication. You understand everything clearly. But even a child has more wisdom than an adult down here. I understood quite a bit. And there are things that I didn't. There are questions I did have. I know the one angel, it seemed like he was reveling in the fact that he came back a couple times saying, well, didn't you read the book? And I said, yeah, okay, I got you. But everything in there, one of the things that really impressed upon me, and I knew that, but I didn't know that I know that. I mean, there's truth and there's true truth. But there's not a period or comma or word in that Bible that is an allegory or of anything else. I grew up in the Catholic Church. And I remember going to CCD classes with the nuns, and they would talk about Noah or talk about these different events in the Bible that they were really stories to illustrate something. Nothing in the Bible is a story to illustrate something, but it is a true event to illustrate something. It all happened because at what point do you pick something in that Word of God that says this is a true event and this is just a story to illustrate a lesson? So what then becomes true truth? And if the Word of God is true truth above all truth that we know, then there cannot be any break in that. And so everything there, when it says that our prayers are like a sweet-smelling aroma, it is. When I walked through and we got to the throne room, this aroma was so thick you can slap. It's almost like a fog. It was sweet, and it was good. And I looked at the angel, and that was one of the times he said, well, apparently you don't read your book. But that's truly what it was, is that there's truth in all that. When they say this is it, it is it.
Is it literal with what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh.
There is nothing there that is not literal. It is all, because what you tell me what is literal or not, and then, you know, now you can pick apart the true truth of the Bible. Because now what do you believe? You know, so everything there, and that's what the angel was very animate with, is that it's all true, it's all there. Especially noting that we need to operate from the throne room. That's where we need to be. We need to walk in heaven now, not in the future sometime, but now, because our presence is at the right side. It is the body of Christ. He's the head. We are the body. Our authority comes from that seat. And everything that we must declare, decree, has to come from that presence, that authority of that throne room. And so we walk within that now. And we're called to walk within it now, not later, not some future event. That's where he is, we're to be.
So, Tom, I mean, do you have a different perspective as far as, you know, heaven on earth and
yes.
What that heaven is? Maybe, you know, share a little bit about what you see.
What I see? you know, Tim, heaven is, when the Lord said heaven is here, his very presence is here, it is amongst us. There are times when I feel like I can put my hand out and actually go into another realm with it. I mean, it's, and we walk within that. And there's two things that come out of that. Number one, it comes right back to the original statements, how much faith you walk in. And I know that many of you walk in a tremendous amount of faith. The other thing is the act, you know, what are you doing? There's the faith, but there's also what action are you doing? And there's times where, you know, we go into prayer and we're there for 5 minutes, nothing happens, we do our prayer and we walk out. I've been in prayer for 3 hours before the very presence, and then I find myself in the very presence of the Lord, and walking in that. And the more I do that, the more I have found that I do it more quickly, if that's right. I can find myself in that presence, you know, just in worship at the church. I oftentimes she will open up my spiritual eyes, and I can see what's going on in the battle, the angels, the things that are all around us, and you know, worship and stuff. But more often than not, it's just walking in and feeling his very strong presence there, and then operating that with that authority from that throne room, and that is where you see the miraculous, the spiritual transactions happen. and again, it becomes that timing thing. And those are the things I wanted to share today is his timing, and it's his, you know, so if it takes, I know we're all busy, but if you had to carve out 3 hours and you knew you could be in the very presence of God, would you do it? You know, and I'm not guaranteeing that, you know, but can you walk in that kind of faith? And that's, I didn't do it before that, Tim. But, you know, I learned to fight to get back in that presence that I had when I was up there. And I'm not the only one. We found a church here in Greater Orlando area that, I'm not the only one that has that, experience, and they have that many people that come in, so I feel comfortable that, you know, the guys in the white suits weren't coming to pick me up. I feel much more at ease, and because of that, there's a greater confidence in that. Now I could be driving, and I know none of you want to be driving by me with this being said, but and find myself in the right presence and then, you know, kind of wake up at work or whatever type of thing. But it's just, I guess, really, Jesus does have the will at that time. But I'm finding more and more of that. So we are meant to do that. We are meant to be utilized in these spiritual means and transactions. I really, really believe that today. And this is coming from a scientific. Sure, I was in deliverance, saw all the things, seen, you know, the spiritual realm during those, you know, multitude of years that we were involved in that and continue to be involved in it. But, you know, to this other level of walking, I didn't do it until that, but I know I do have a message that it's not just for me or people that have experienced what I've experienced. It's for every Christian.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let's think of it this way. You know, if we're ambassadors to another, you know, to a country, how can we truly be ambassadors and represent our home country, homeland, without having a very strong connection that we can go back there and understand the message to be delivered to the country that we are an ambassador to, Earth? So there is a very presence that we have entry to and that we can walk into and walk back out of and be in the very presence of. And my goal is to learn how to operate in that consistently and continually. And at that point, I think the more of us that do that, the more of us we're going to see that church that's talked about in end times.
Michael, did you have a question?
Yeah, I did. You're talking about prayer getting you into the presence of God. As you started out, when you came back, and as you started out praying, I sense that it took you a little bit longer, and now it's not taking as long. Are you saying your faith was built up each time that you prayed in to the presence of God? And what did it was your prayer time or renewing your mind with the Word of God or both? Can you explain that part of it?
Yeah, it was really both. I'll be honest with you, in the beginning, I was in his presence a lot when I came out. I mean, there were a multitude of times that I found myself being translated and walking with, you know, not only Jesus, but an angel in the different halls of the hospital and praying over the various rooms. And then coming back, and that happened very consistently in the beginning. And then, you know, as that kind of tailed off, I still was able to be in his presence continually. And the reason being, there was no distractions. I was in his word. I was always praying. I was always, when you can't move and you're in bed, you know, there was a whole lot of options I had. I mean, Satan can play with your mind, but I was continually in praying in tongues, worshiping, and so the very presence of the Lord was continually on me during that time. As distractions came in the world as I left there, then I found myself getting to a point where it wasn't as easy to get back in, and there was a struggle, and I had to fight to get back into that presence. And while I do that is being in the Word, especially being in worship and praising Him, and then waiting on Him. And today, there are times where, yes, it's much, if I look at a trend line, here we go in here, I tend to find myself in His presence a lot quicker today than I did maybe 7-8 months ago when I was, when the whole world was coming on top of me and I was not in tongues, not doing everything I had to do continually, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I sense what you're saying is that it built your faith up to the point to where you could just latch on to Jesus at that point, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, today, I can't walk anywhere without knowing or having the feeling of the very presence of his presence right by me continually, in the presence of the angelic realm, the Lord, speaking. It's not like a turn on, don't get me wrong on that, but it's, But I can get into that process much, much quicker in the faith. And it's because I don't want to depart very far from it. It's why I feel I can get back in that presence quicker. Now, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. Remember, I'm still battling and, rebuking Satan and resisting the devil because he wants to take that away. But, I am more continually in that now than ever before.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the angelic realm and what your experience has been with angels, how they look, what they're doing in heaven, and just anything you can share about the angelic realm?
Yeah, they're pretty intense, some of them, especially... especially talk about Michael's realm, his angels. But after all, they're the warrior. That's the one who didn't smile too much. He was pretty, But I'll say this. I mean, there was a lot of interaction with angels and humans in heaven. I mean, and looked very much alike. You can always tell the difference because the angelic, the angels had this. I'm going to try to... They had this forever look to them. They had this eternal look within their faces. You could tell, oh, that person's an angel. There's a human. You had that that presence there. We have more than just this guardian angel with us, though. I'll come to find out as a Christian, there was this other one that was always there that was kind of a messenger angel that my prayers or messages or things going out, decrees, would constantly take him to heaven and back. So there was this guardian, there was this messenger angel, and the guardian angel kept correcting me. He says, I really want to be called a ministering angel. I'm a minister, type of thing. So I must have been sensitive to that. But, but they were always there. They are there and they are protecting. And it's amazing how many times that we probably should have died earlier in our lives. But they are continually there, buffeting our dumbness, our bad decisions, if you will.
Okay.
They also come to battle in prayer. When we are in prayer, when we have the enemy I share a story that, you know, if we were in the middle of the ministry, and this goes way before, years ago, my son was, he's 28 now, but he was about 3 or 4 at that time, and I was coming back from work, bad day, you know, we're in the midst of the ministry and everything going on, and he comes in, he was 3 years old, comes and says, "Dad, you know those monkeys are on the roof again." And I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, what on earth is he talking about? And suddenly I realized that he had a clear vision in the demonic realm. He could see the demonic and angelic battles that were going on. And as we prayed, he would share that how that you know, they're leaving and departing. And the one thing which is really tough to talk about, the one thing I came to find out later was the two angels that presented me in heaven were the two angels that were at his bedside years earlier when my wife was there. And he was describing him. They've been with us the whole time. And that's what the warrior angel was saying. He said, "You know, we've been with you always and with your son." So it's just, so their roles in our lives and as ministers and as guardians is a very important role that Jesus takes very seriously, God the Father takes very seriously, and they take very seriously. But the multitude of different types are amazing. There are so many sites in heaven that are, you know, most people would think are rather odd or scary or whatever, that they were not. They were just very reassuring and calming up there. But, you know, when you got angels with six wings and things flying around and everything, it's not, they're not things that you're common and seeing here. But they're very common up there. There's a lot of animals in heaven. I'll give you that because everyone asks me that. Is there animals in heaven? Yeah, there's animals. You'll be rolling around with a lion. At least the kids will. I don't know if the adults still believe they can. But, you know, it's what I saw the angelic realm. They move on our prayers. They do battle on our prayers. If we're not praying, we're not engaging them in defeating the enemy. So our prayers become absolutely vital in directing. We're not generals by any stretch of imagination, but we definitely have an authority, you know, as Christ did. You know, Christ said he can call down everyone and call down hundreds could have left the situation in the garden, but you know, we are called to do what he did, and we can move them on to different situations, like Daniel. You know, I mean, but they're going to be in a battle, too, remember. I mean, Daniel called them, and he had a fight on his hands. So, you know, that's continually going on. That's a real-life thing. And, I see people today, they talk about, we're just puppets in this whole thing. Well, no, we're made in likeness. We're made to be, I want to say buddies with Christ, if you will. And Satan hates that, and there's a period of time, and God's word is God's word, and there's a season that this battle goes on. And so engage it and keep the prayer life very strong, and that's where our warfare prayer has got to be at the extreme. Because we're the ones engaging, and I said that very clearly. When the prayers of the saints went up, it moved the angels. And I tell people the book I still go back to that I think is such. I know Frank Peretti must have had a vision of this or been given this. Is This Present Darkness, because it's very, very much what I saw when I was in the hospital and walking around and seeing the prayers going up and the battles going up and the results of those prayers.
Tom, you're hearing angels now when you enter into worship and praise and that.
Oh, yeah.
Did you share with me that you heard some angels talking so loud you wanted to record them for something in your room?
Yeah, and I don't know, I'm constantly in worship. If I shut up my clangy voice, there's song going up that's supernatural. It's not part of the choir, part of that, and I hear them continually, and hear their discussions, especially the more in depth, the deeper I get in his presence, the more time I spend in that, I can get to I hear more of their discussion, and remember, you just don't hear it from your ears, although it seems like you do. It's from the heart. That's where they communicate, and it's clear. And the decisions we make come from the heart. I mean, people say, how do you make a heart decision? Well, you got to realize the heart is made up of brain cells. You know, God knew what he was saying when he said you got to make a heart decision. He had brain cells put in there. You know, and so we hear from that point, Tim continually, I can't be, and the deeper I get in worship, the more it becomes prevalent. And especially if we're worshiping, the worship pleases the Lord. A lot of worship doesn't please the Lord.
Amen. Hey, Gabe, did you have a question?
Yeah, Tom. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I was wondering, you know, you discussed a few things, but I was wondering how this experience in heaven, seeing Paul, Jeremiah, all these different things, how this has shaped your day-to-day life in terms of renewing your mind daily and, you know, just... how is it? I know one of the things you talked about is just being void of fear, and just some of the other things that encourages you daily that just strengthens your walk from this experience.
I think one of the things is you're sharing there, and one of my goals this year is just, you know, I've been reading about forever, but just to read straight through the Bible again another time through the year, and then also do some other studies through that. But I'm finding myself right now in the book of Jeremiah, and I can't tell you how alive it is, how real his words are. It's almost, to me, I can hear his voices, you know, coming out of the pages. So I think one of the things that affected me more than anything, and at the same time, because I'm reading, you know, a couple chapters in the Old Testament and going into the New, I'm also reading a lot of Paul's epistles now. So for both of them, it has been a real work in my spirit and soul, and just I find myself... I do it on the computer now where it's up because I've been drenching the pages of the Bible that I have. So, you know, as thin as those pages are, they don't work very well anymore. But that has been one thing that has been significant in my life is how the words and the truth, everything jumps out more today than ever before. Because you see that and experience that and you walked with them. And that's one aspect. The other thing is I catch myself much faster getting out of the wrong thinking back into the right thinking and thinking upon good things and not evil. And when you're in the midst of working and the enemy's going to throw a lot of stuff at you and he wants you to fall so that you won't be a testimony or relate. As Paul says, I can beat all things to everyone. You know, sometimes there's times when you don't want to be all things to everyone other than maybe like Muhammad Ali. But, there was those times where I found myself catching myself much earlier and not going there. And, when I came back, it was interesting that when I came back to work at the company I was at, I was vice president of manufacturing and running North American manufacturing operations. And that Monday they called me in and said, "Well, you know, we're going to replace you in this position. We're going to give you a job as manager of special projects." Well, you know what that means. I mean, what are special projects? I had, you know, if this was the old me, you know, there probably would have been the police coming and two dead bodies in that office, even as a Christian at that point. But, you know, I had such a peace about everything, about a lot of the things going on, about, you know, the decisions, the things that come. I still work as unto the Lord, still focus. But, you know, we look at things differently, Linda and I, that this is the Lord guiding our hands in things and finding ourselves in places that, you know, when they finally closed down that operation on a Monday, Wednesday, I get a call from Florida saying, "Hey, we want you down here to run our department in the city. Could you come down or would you like to?" And, you know, just the timing of the Lord, His very presence, you know, just desires of our heart, you know, that were going on. So the other thing that changed drastically was just relaxing in Him, you know, being in His presence, being in His, you know, changing that heart. You know, and I've had several friends that, you know, within seconds of coming into the hospital room or afterwards said, "Man, you know, He did a work on your heart," and then could see it immediately. Probably a little harder for Linda to see it, but she has to live with me. But, you know, but really, you know, I think those are the things that really were the major parts, is just how real the Word is and how real the change of heart has become to operate in His desires more than anything else. You know, I think, you know, I think I really died when I went to heaven. You know, if that makes sense.
Well, your flesh died.
Yeah.
Your carnal man died, you know.
I mean, where it talks about, you know, we die, and, you know, we're baptized, and, you know, we die. Let's live for Him. But, you know, when I went to heaven, I think I truly died.
Well, one of the things is you got to experience being completely in spirit and have that feel, and you know exactly what God is desiring. And it seems to me like you, through that experience, you've been able to decipher between the flesh and the spirit way more accurately, because you've had all those senses and you felt them, and you know what God's presence feels like, and all those things. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah, I think that sums it up really. More aware of that than ever before. You know, and I know that He has me jumping back into, you know, deliverance and healing and some of these other ministries as we go forward down here. But yeah, I mean, that is very accurate. You can't be separated from the flesh and not have a clear discernment of those issues.
I had a question for you. My name is William Steenland. I'm from New Jersey. And I've had a really long battle with some things I've been dealing with almost my whole life. And I've been delivered recently of schizophrenia and some serious emotional problems. Rage and anger and just depression and stuff like that. And I've had some experiences in the Lord that I can't really let go of and I can't forget, because I want them to come to pass. And, you know, I had a vision once where I opened up this freezer in the vision and this anointing hit my face. And this anointing was the greatest thing I ever felt in my life. And I know that if anybody walked in that anointing, it's basically just the Lord on the earth, you know. And I know the man-child's going to walk in that. And I was just wanted to ask you to pray for me, because I go through periods where I have really intense, strong faith, and you know, I've had a decent amount of miracles in my life, as far as healings and instant manifestations and stuff like that. but I've been going through recently. I've just been going around in circles and just trying to shake that. And not be weary and well doing. And there was a time, maybe about 2 years ago, where I was battling schizophrenia very, very bad. And what I would do is just get on my face and pray before the Lord. And he would always show up. And so I kind of understand where you're coming from about praying into the presence of the Lord. And you know, just recently, you know, I'm really wanting to be able to walk in full victory and not be wavering in my faith and not be, you know, unsteadfast, as the Bible says. And so I was just wondering if you could pray for me that I enter into the presence of the Lord the way you do, and that the Lord would grant me that grace and to really just fully overcome things that I've been dealing with. So
have you you said you recently got delivered of schizophrenia?
Yeah, it was a slower process. It would yeah. Come on me and I get victory and come on me and get victory. And you know, there have been some times in my life where I've fallen into unforgiveness and got chastened for that, and so I've been delivered of it a couple times. I've had a battle with that.
Yeah, that is a complex, because it's not just a single demonic realm, it's a multitude that make up that. But yeah, for sure. Continue in that. Yeah.
You can pray for all of us for that.
Amen. Yeah, we all want to see heaven when we leave tonight.
Amen.
All right. Tim, how long does this go on? I mean, I don't know what.
Until you stop talking.
Oh. Well, let's any more questions, and then we'll close off with prayer.
Yeah, that's fine. No, we've got until 10 o'clock. Or I know you typically go to bed early, but as long as you're willing to hang in there, if anybody's got questions or anything like that, we'll hang in there. But so does anybody else have anything they'd like to ask Tom?
Yes. You mentioned, this is Samita from Georgia. I heard you speaking of deliverance. You felt, is it correct in saying that after you have this experience and the more you enter into intercession and experiencing the glory of God, that you feel a very strong, I don't know how to put it, you have a very strong ministry for deliverance?
Yeah, I, probably going back to, I want to say 1985, we got involved in the deliverance ministry in our church and have been very strong in that. In fact, Tim and Trish were involved in you know, some of our sessions and as we went forward. So, yeah, even before my experience, I was involved in that. And I'll be honest with you, we backed out of it going later because of, you know, because that's what excuse you have. I mean, you end up, the enemy will either try to use fear or just get you so busy that you know, leave time for the Lord. And in my case, you know, he couldn't scare us out. I mean, we had a lot of visitations and demonic visitors at night and this and that. And you know, I mean, we just kind of rolled over and went back to sleep, all the Smith Wigglesworth. But you know, he got us so busy. And
And, you know, I was vice president of a company that did a lot of work overseas as well as in, you know, I was in charge basically of North American production. Plus doing our own business and so Deliverance became a very, very minor sideline. That we still wouldn't, if someone called, we would not entertain helping them and assisting them, but it wasn't something that we were doing as much to the level that we were doing before. So I really feel that, with what we have done and even just prior to, my injury, the Lord put us in a couple positions where, you know, we're in Deliverance sessions, and I'll be honest with you, when you haven't prayed Deliverance at that time for several years and you walk in and, you know, you come face to face with, you know, a demon you knew from the past, and you see how God works miracles and that, you realize, you know what, you just fell to your knees and realize that you're not being obedient to what God wants you to do. And so with the injury, I do feel more of a call to do that. Again, and you know, even in the form of writing books again and all that about. So that was a yes.
Amen.
Did you say in the form of writing in your books?
Yes.
Sort of misconception.
Yeah, and Famika, his testimony is on the website. So if you just search. Tom Krueger's testimony. So if you go to the website and
I think it's in miscellaneous.
Yeah, look in miscellaneous recordings, and his whole testimony is there about his whole heaven experience and all that. And it's about an hour long testimony. It'll definitely bless you.
Oh, thank you.
All right, does anybody else have any questions for Tom?
I've always been listed as miscellaneous, huh?
Well, hi, Tom, that's where we put everything now. Yep, been relegated to the miscellaneous page.
Hey,
no, that's where we put everything.
All right. Did somebody have?
Yeah. Hey, Tom, I had a question for you. I guess it was kind of going back to one of the other questions. How would I word this here? It was in reference to the relationship between prayer and, you know, declaring the word. You know, in spiritual warfare and just the inner workings of the spirit realm, you know, with the angels. You know, the word says that, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do the service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? And as you were talking about, being taken over to, you know, different parts of the world and interceding for those situations and things, Were you shown in some pretty good detail how that all takes place, you know, as far as, declaring the word over situations, you know, those types of situations? Were you shown any kind of, you know, major detail on that? And just kind of, if so, could you share that?
You know, I'll tell you the biggest thing that, in fact, the Lord shared with me, you know, when I did meet Jesus up there, one of the things that he was very clear on is our need to get back to the boldness and the faith that the first century church operated on. And that when we declare or, you know, and decree something to happen and use the Word of God, that we do it with such a boldness, and you know, when you say the inner working of that, that comes with such a strong faith and belief that what you say you know that you know that you know is going to come to pass.
And that's what, you know, even though the apostle said, you know, I have no silver, I have no gold, but what I have I'll give to you, and then healed, they had an understanding that, that went beyond the depth of our understanding, for the most part, the church today, of the boldness and the and knowing what they say will come to pass and operate in. And so one of the things that I came to realize more than anything is that when we were out and we declared that the city will not fall, there was something that rises up in me today that didn't before. That is that same I know that I know that I know, that no fear, no, and I say fear, it's as much doubt that has been eliminated, that if the word of God goes out, now does the word of God come back immediately? Sometimes, yes. Does it come back in a month or a week? Yes. But I know that I know, and with that boldness and with that understanding, with no doubt. You know, so I use this word fear sometimes, it's as much as a, is using it that I didn't have any doubt anymore, that you'd have this belief that you know that you know that you know. I mean, you know, you plug a cord into a socket, you know that you know that, you know, it's going to bring power to that lamp or whatever, and you don't even think about it. That's the level of operation in decreeing and declaring that that Jesus was sharing with me, is that, you know, we operate in, you know, the way he put it, in just such a mamby-pamby, I use the word mamby-pamby, but put a way in the church that we, you know, our prayers any longer are, Lord, if you will. He is so tired of hearing that. Because all that says is we don't know his word, we don't know him. And we don't know his thoughts, and we don't know, you know, we're decreeing and declaring. We know the will of God. We know what's in his heart. We walk in that. And that's if there's a mechanism to the whole thing, it's that. I don't know if that answers your question, or I have created another question.
Hey Greg, did that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah, that was good. That was good. I know that, but you know, it's quite another thing. I can only assume to have the experiences you've had in that way, and you know, just watch the things unfold that way. I don't know. That's astounding to me, and I'm believing that for you know, as we pray and declare and you know. Just speak the word into our circumstances of our everyday lives. I believe that, and I'm getting a better understanding of that more and more. So, thanks, Tom.
Sure. You know, one of the things too that the Lord brought to mind just as you were talking, Greg, is that none of this happens without fasting. You know, when I was going through a lot of the stuff, the deeper I walk in the Lord, I realize the less I eat. I mean, I don't want to put it, do I fast? I had no choice for a long time. But you know, just recent with the spiritual battle I was going through, I was fasting 2 meals a day and praying and you know, when you allow your body to take a back seat to the spirit, you know, and that spirit rises up, you know, it's amazing what the authority and the power that you operate in that. And so a lot of times I find today that I don't eat very much at all. I mean, I have 1 meal a day. And I have no desire outside of that, but in that other time, I'm praying. That's just, and I know that's just killing some of you.
No, it's just another, another instance of just, you know, I mean, we tend to feed our flesh, you know, instead of, you know, basking the Lord. But
well, it makes me feel how short I've come, you know, and what I can look forward to.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, Tom, I got a question.
Amen. Go ahead, Doug.
I was wondering, did you get any kind of revelation about what we could expect? Will most of us in the future time coming maybe be able to walk in that realm where you're at right now? Is that something that the Lord kind of gave you an idea, or is this just something, I know it's your experience, but is there any kind of revelation we can expect for the future? Maybe, do you have any ideas there?
I mean, he absolutely wants you to walk in it. I mean, that's the message he brought, told me to bring back.
I'm talking more about the manifestation. Is that going to be coming on? Is the Lord going to be helping us go there? Or are we all going to have to just kind of, like, work in it ourselves like you are a little bit, I guess? Is it because you kind of were forced in that environment all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
And then you came back. How's that? Did he give you an idea for the rest of this, or is this pretty much your oversight about how things are working with you?
I think we'll all have to press in. I mean, there's nothing that, or very little that he does that, you know, I don't want you to go through what I went through to get that. But it all requires pressing into the Lord. So if your question revolves around fasting and time and worship and, you know, just giving him, you know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of pressing into him, then that'll be what it takes reaching for you as an individual. I don't know about the next person. You know, so I've always, my experience with deliverance has always been, you know, based upon the spiritual walk of the person. The deliverance seemed to be easier with that person that was closer to the Lord and was doing, you know, versus someone that might have had a lot of issues and was not walking with the Lord. So the same, I gotta believe, and this is all conjecture on my part, I gotta believe that, you know, being in his presence like that is all gonna be relative to how close you are to him right now and what you're doing, and, you know, if there's any unforgiveness, any sin, any issues that also overriding and, you know, that may be blocking some of that.
I think it's interesting that, you know, you said that Jeremiah, you know, told you that, you know, we're at where Israel was, you know, in his day. And, you know, because I really see that, because there's, you know, very little power in the church, and everybody thinks just going there for, you know, a half-hour sermon is, you know, all the God they're going to get. You know, they carry their Bibles around, but they really don't read them. It's more of a status symbol in the church, and, you know, it's just where a lot of people are, and they're not pressing in, they're not overcoming, they're not, you know, at that point, and that's where, you know, I just really see that, you know, the state of the church, and you know, that's the Lord's going to have to do something to get to wake up the church, because the church is asleep right now.
So. Well, that's very much true, and he said something interesting to me when I was up there, is that when he talked about, like ancient Israel, he was definitely focused upon the United States. He said, you are the second Israel in spiritual Israel. And you are at that point of where Israel was in my time. And I don't know if anyone of you have read the Harvard years, by Kahn, talking about, you know, going back to the 9/11 and various issues and prophecies within the Bible and how they're clearly related to things that have gone on today in the United States. But, you know, we were meant to be a standard to stand up, and what's happening is we're decaying, and decay comes first with the spiritual aspect of
in our country. You know, today we have people in Africa asking us not to send over missionaries because it hurts their spiritual walk with the Lord, because we're not at a level that the Lord has taken them to. You know, they see the miraculous happening all the time, but they truly understand they understand the Word of God, and they take it for face value, and they operate in it. You know, we send missionaries over there that don't even understand that. We are at a critical stage here. I don't know he didn't show me anything of the future, what goes on beyond that, but, you know, all I got to do is read Jeremiah. And, it didn't play out real well.
You said the only thing you saw was that you did see the stables, and it seemed like they were getting the horses ready.
Yes.
Or there was a type of urgency.
Excuse me. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when they said, you know, he's riding on a horse, yeah, they're saddled.
The horses are saddled.
Yeah. Now, what does that mean? I can't tell you, Tim. I can't, you know, remember their time there and time here is different. I mean, they may be saddled and, you know, 30 years later here on Earth time is 30 seconds in Heaven's time. You know, but when I realized that it was just the opposite for me, I mean, I felt like I was up there for about a half hour or so, you know, and I try to judge stuff as best I can. But when I come back down here, I realize that I was only gone for maybe seconds, maybe 30 seconds versus 30 minutes. And that was the thing that just spoke to me very clearly about operating in Heaven's time and not Earth's time.
That's
awesome. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
About 10 years ago, I guess, I had a vision when I was up in the hills of all the soldiers in heaven, or a lot of the soldiers in heaven. They were standing right out in front of me, a ways off, but I could see them, and they were all geared up in their battle uniforms, but they weren't saddled up in their horses yet. And that's about 10 years ago. But then, I don't know, it was a couple of years ago, I had another vision similar to that, but they were mounted up.
Yeah.
Getting ready to go. So yeah. You're right. That time frame there is different up there than it is here.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and it's so difficult for us to understand that. I mean, we pray, get so frustrated, and live through some of the pains and the things that come with being here and relative to the timing that we would hope to see, and we figure God's missed it somewhere along the line, but he's on board. And when I went there and saw the horses saddled, and, you know, you see all the activities, a tremendous amount of activity, you got to believe that we're not all that far away. You know, and I'm not one of those that sit there and cry, you know, end of the world type of stuff, because I think we need to be working diligently as if, you know, it's a ways away, but yet prepared that it would be in a blink of an eye. I mean, so many Christians, I think, are sitting there in their rocking chairs waiting for the Lord to come and not doing what the Lord desires them to do.
That's so true. All right, let's, any last questions? Does anybody else have anything on their heart before we have Tom pray? Okay. Well, Tom, why don't you go ahead and close, you know, pray for us and close out in prayer, and we'll let you go.
Hey, I can have some ice cream. That's all I ask and I need. Dear Father, we just thank you for this time together, this time of sharing and sharing experiences, sharing your word. Father, I I thank you for this group of people from literally stretching, as far as I know, across this country, that are reaching out, that are hungry for your word, they're hungry for your presence, hungry for more of you, Lord. And Father, I know you're no respecter of persons. You know, what I experience is not what you have deemed for me alone, but rather would rather see all your children experience and walk in. And Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you right now that your very spirit would be like thick honey upon them, that your presence, Father God, will indwell upon them, thick upon them, Father God, from their head to their very toes, Lord. Lord, give them that their eyes should be open. Father, the scales that were once on there are no longer on their eyes, Father God, that their spiritual eyes are open, open to see you, to have your heart, to have your mind of Christ and the things that they do on a daily basis. Father God, that in all their walking, that their foot shall land upon stable ground, that their pathway shall be straight, Father God, in all things that they should do, that they should be pillars, Father God, pillars within their community and with the people around them, that their heart, Father God, should be open to the communication you have from a daily basis, that when you speak to them, they become quiet and silent, that they could hear that still small voice continually, that just like that small breeze, that small wind that you present yourself in, that, Lord, that they could hear you and hear your word, your movement, your desires, and are obedient to that, Lord. Lord, that they shall hear you and be able to discern, Lord. We pray that a spirit of discernment may come upon them, to discern that which is of flesh and that is of the spirit. And Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that they will now speak from the throne room of authority, that they will be on the right side, Father God, is the body of Christ, underneath the headship of Christ, Lord, but speaking with authority and boldness, decreeing and declaring from the right throne room of God. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that they shall walk in your glory, shall walk in heaven here, Lord, not in future, but right now, Lord, present to them within their worship, Lord, that they shall even hear the angels, that they should see and be witness to your glory as it falls, Lord, that they should be, Lord, that every turn that they have, a desire, a word that they need, that your spirit would be there to instruct them, to teach them, to give them the words to speak to into the heart of the person that they're ministering to, Lord. And Father God, for those that struggle, and we know that even the same, even as we seek you out, even as we get closer to you, sometimes our struggles are revealed. It's like peeling back an onion, Lord. And Father, we just speak right now, we release the demonic from each one of them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We speak to them to be gone, Father God. We rip up the deed that they may have come into, and we just speak of faith to be sealed in their body, in every form, that their Shekinah glory shall fill their insides from head to toe, Father God. And we thank you for that. We give you all the glory and honor this evening, and then continue to grow. Continue for them to seek your word. Continue for them to seek your right presence. Everything that they do. And we give you all the glory and honor. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Tom, I really appreciate you coming on and just sharing your heart in that. And I'd like to pray for you. And the other person that's been on my heart is Shannon. And I'd like to lift him up. I know he's in a struggle, and we'll just ask the whole conference tonight, just put our, you know, faith together. So, Father, we just thank you for Tom. We thank you for all that you're doing in his life, Lord. Thank you for just this experience that you brought him through, that it's been, you know, a blessing. It's been blessing others. It's been used for to evangelize to the lost. It's been used to speak to the brokenhearted, the people that are, you know, just, you know, have lost loved ones, and, you know, it's just brought hope as far as what heaven is like, and it's blessed people. It's blessed women that have had abortions to know that these babies are in heaven, that they're, you know, being ministered to Jesus. So It's been an awesome blessing, Lord. And we just ask you just bless Tom, Lord, and just continue to work in his life, Lord. Continue to, there's a whole reason why you brought back this message, and it's blessing us, but it's going to bless the multitudes, Lord. And Father, we just pray for the lost church right now, Lord, the people that have fallen away from you, the great falling away that were one time, on fire for you and have, fallen away from you because of the lies that they're believing in their head, because, the lies that they've, learned through the apostate, system out there, Lord. And Father, I just lift up Shannon to you right now, Lord. He's a dear friend of Tom and myself, Lord, and he's in a struggle right now, Lord, and we don't know the depth of that, Lord. But right now, we bind up the principalities and powers, and we come against the lies that are in his head, and we call those lies to cease in the name of Jesus, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you just give him a dream, you give him a vision, you just speak to that man, and you just bring him into your, just put the fear of the Lord in him, Lord. Just lift your glory off of him just for a minute, Lord, and just to get his attention, Lord. And Father God, we just ask you just bring him back and bring him into the fullness, Lord. And we just thank you for just renewing his mind in Christ Jesus, and just bless him in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So. All right, Tom, go to bed. Thank you again for coming in and blessing us tonight.
I appreciate y'all, and God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Amen.
Thank you, Tom.
Good night.
Take care.
Thank you, Tom. God bless you.
Love you.
Thank
man.
You.
God bless
good night,
you,
Tom. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. All right, so that's pretty powerful. All right, does anybody have anything they'd like to that's on their heart as far as what they got out of tonight or got out of Tom or some revelation?
Yeah, I was reading Jeremiah.
Go ahead, Famika.
I was saying yes. I was reading Jeremiah 29, chapter 29 today. And Jeremiah was explaining to God's people that God was telling them to go into Babylon. In other words, don't resist. And I noticed how the scriptures say pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but when they were taking captivity into captivity, Jeremiah says that the Lord said, when you go to Babylon, pray for the peace of Babylon so that you could have peace. So once they got removed from Jerusalem, they were to pray for the peace of the place where they were so that peace could be returned back to them. And that was just hearing Tom talk about Jeremiah, how he said our nation is where Israel was. That's very powerful that he said that, and it gave me a lot of insight and revelation. And I don't know, I just feel very humbled hearing his testimony, and I just praise God that he had that experience, that encounter, and that he has such a commitment, because it really does, it really does make me see areas where I can press in through fasting and prayer, and that as a believer, there is so much more than just, there's so much more to God than just sitting hearing sermons. And I'm not speaking against the Word of God. I'm just speaking against the church that we see of today, how it's fallen so short. But it just was, I don't know how to put it into words. I was just very encouraged by what he said about the part about Jeremiah. A lot of what he said was encouraging, but I don't know, that part that he spoke about Jeremiah, that really, really, really blessed me.
Amen. No, I just, when I, you'll hear, more of the testimony when you listen to it, but when I came into the kingdom, it was actually, it might have been in his living room or another, or this Shannon's living room, I was in a Bible study with them for quite a while, and I saw more miracles during that time, healings and legs growing out and, different things happening. And I went into the church, and I pretty much got lulled to sleep. And I wasn't, you know, reading the Word. I wasn't, you know, seeking after the Lord. I thought I had arrived. I was in spiritual pride. I was put in leadership and all that. And I look back then when I was in the church and I was not saved, I mean, there was just no way. I had no fruit at all. And until the Lord took the scales off my eyes and brought me out of that apostate system and put me into the wilderness and put me under a trial and put me under fire, and where I had to cry out to Him and you know, really get into the Word, and that's when I, you know, was led to, you know, this ministry, and just challenged me. You know, when I heard David say, don't believe anything I say, just, you know, this is what the Lord showed me, and just get in the Word and study it out. And, you know, I started to learn types and shadows, and I was seeing, you know, things like that, is really when I started to really grow in faith. And then as you step out in faith, but I look at the church and where it's at, and the things that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that just love the Lord, but they just, you know, they don't believe that, you know, a lot of them don't believe Christians can have demons and don't, you know, have no idea of spiritual warfare or, you know, anything like that. And it's really sad, you know, as far as the state that the church is in. And it's the same situation that, you know, it was in Jesus' day. Is there, you know, they're all worried about, you know, building the big temples and, you know, and all that. And when Christ starts manifesting in His people, they're going to miss it. They're going to miss Christ just like they did in His day. And they're going to persecute the Christ that comes back because they're going to miss it because it doesn't line up with their doctrine. And it's the same type in shadow as, you know, what happened back in Christ's time. So it's, you know, so I think that, and I think it's awesome that the Lord, you know, does this, takes, you know, people like Tom to heaven and comes back, and it just, you know, the ones that are seeking after Him. Because, I mean, literally, this, when I shared in the beginning, this Bible study my son is in, you know, we've got somebody giving testimony, you know, that's been to heaven, and the people that were in his Bible study were saying, well, that's not possible because this pastor said that, you know, you can't go to heaven and come back. And they don't understand, you know, spiritual, going there in the spirit. And, you know, they think it's a physical thing. And they see everything in the physical. They don't understand anything in the spirit. So it's, this church is in a sad state right now. So.
Well, that's one of the reasons God should shake up the world.
Amen.
Shake the church. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I was just going to make a comment that I agreed very much with what the brother said, that really I think the ball is in our court. I think too many times people have just waited for, well, when God's going to visit His people, and the scripture says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And all of the scriptures about the pursuit of the Lord are aggressive scriptures. And I won't go into all the scriptures, but there's so many of them, you know, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They are the ones that are filled. And I would that you would earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And I see such a complacency has become the earmark of much of Christendom. And may we be delivered from all complacency and get to a place where we have that, you know, it talks, that scripture that stands out to me is fervent in spirit serving the Lord. And be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And to hear this brother saying, we need to just press in and seek the Lord and wait on Him until we can break through with Him. And the old time saints always talked about praying through. They would press into something and they wouldn't let it go until they had that liberty and the release in the Spirit. And it was the confirmation of the Holy Spirit that it was a done deal. And when they came out of it, it was a done deal. And I think that, I know in my own life too many times, that, like the brother said, I've backed off before the answer, backed off before the breakthrough. And I think I'm just crying out to God for that fervent heart and that being fervent in spirit and hungering and thirsting and insatiable, you know, as David said, could we say of our own soul in Psalm 42, as the heart pants for water brooks, so thirsts my soul for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I mean, that David had tasted something that I just know in my own heart that just confirmed with me the need. There's a price tag on being that vessel. If a man will therefore purge himself from these, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master, who's prepared to every good work. And I believe that, you know, it's just like what the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip when he found water. He said, "Why, here is water, what doth hinder us?" And we have the Holy Spirit, we have the call of God, we have the Word of God, we have all of the things that are there. What does hinder us? And I think the only thing that hinders us is that we're still a little too distracted too many times with the busyness of this world, with the things that all of the activities and stuff we got to do and this and that. And there's just so many things, and our lifestyle has intruded upon the Spirit of God. But I think that we have to come back to that word that the Lord said of Mary when Martha was saying, "Lord, Mary has, do you care not that Mary has left me to do all the serving?" And the Lord said, "Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about many things." And he said, "But one thing is needful." He didn't say two things, five things, three things. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that better part, and it shall not be taken from her. And I believe that's a good word. One thing is needful. And it's that we must press in until we enter in and break through with the reality of the things we profess to believe. And that's my goal in my heart at this point.
Amen, Michael.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I thought it was interesting that, you know, Tom said that the enemy, you know, couldn't get to him through fear, so he got him busy. And that's a huge distraction for the people of God.
Michael Montana. I was just I'm sure you already know that Psalms 27 says, verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life."
To behold the beauty of the Lord.
Yep, and to inquire. And that's what Mary was doing there, sitting at his feet while Martha was, you know, trying to, you know, do the hospitality thing. But I've just been thinking about that, too, that one thing. And, of course, Jesus was quoting from the psalm. It reminds me of that, you know, the birds, the doves, the swallow that has her nest there in the tabernacle of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen, Malcolm.
All right. Anything else that's on anybody's heart before we close out tonight?
Yeah, I have something on my heart.
Okay.
Okay. Tom said a real key word there. It's called fasting. And, man, all I can think about is I'm out of shape. Spiritually. I don't know about anybody else. I think we all need to pray about getting rid of a lot of stuff, the busyness. But I know that years ago the Lord gave me such grace and mercy to fast quite often. And there was huge deliverance, huge growth. And then I think we all need to really understand that. That's the key. On top of everything else. I don't know. I'm just excited because I know the Lord spoke to me, so be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, something that's occurred to me when he was talking is that when we do come together in fellowship, we ought to come in with one purpose in mind, and that is to worship God and to fellowship with the Lord. we tend to want to go around and see what's happening to this person or that person, when in fact we need to go in and seek the Lord for each other. That's just something I thought I'd throw out there.
Amen, Michael.
Amen.
Michael, can you elaborate? I don't know what you meant by that.
Well, when we come into fellowship, it takes sometimes 30, 40, 45 minutes to get into praise and worship when it shouldn't take 2 minutes. I'm not trying to throw out any law or anything like that, but what do we come to fellowship for? What do we come to gather together for, to praise and to pray and to seek God for those, for each other? All of us are struggling in one area or another. And when people come together with the right and the same mind and the same mindset and the same heart, that's a powerful group of people. When you come to a meeting with the one purpose of seeking God for each other, and I'm telling you, that's a powerful, powerful lot of God's power in one place. Instead of coming in and trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with this person and what's going on with that person, just come in with the mindset of seeking God and praising God and finding out from God, you know, the things that we need to find out. Does that make sense now?
Trish, she must be unmuted. No, I think that's...
Yeah. Yeah. Am I muted?
No, you're out now.
Oh. Yeah, Mike, no, I get it, but I don't get the last part. You, when you're saying focusing on other people, or... I guess I'm being really small-minded here. Can you help me out?
Yeah, well, no. What is our job? We're servants of God, aren't we? We're servants to the people of God.
Yes.
And the needs that we know about in our fellowship, we should be praying for those people. We should be lifting them up. We should be exhorting them, you know, and that type of thing. That's all I meant.
Well, it's the same thing, you know, with this conference call. We come in, it's just... you know, it's pray. You know, it's prayed for each other. It's given testimony. It's given revelation the Lord is giving us. And but I think that, you know, part of what you're trying to say is just, you know, just praising the Lord more. You know, coming in with praise, right?
Right, and also to prayer time. This is a good time for prayer. We've got almost 30 people in here now. If you've got 30 people with a like mind and you pray in one accord, what's going to happen? God's going to shake the world for us. That's exactly what's going to happen. And we all have needs. And all we have, what we have to do, we have to get comfortable with each other in order to share what we need prayer for. And once you do that, you don't care what man thinks. My goodness, we're trying to, we're seeking the Lord here. And once we get free of all of this stuff, bless God, we're gonna see some power in one place.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to say thank you for saying that, because the brother from New Jersey, I think, that said he suffers from schizophrenia. I don't know if it's on the line or not, but I thought in my heart, it took courage for, in my mind, it seemed like it took courage to be that vulnerable and honest. And it goes along with what Brother Michael is saying, that we're going to have to forget about what man is thinking, because I did have the fear of man to ask the other brother, Tom, to say, hey, I would love to have that experience with the Lord, but I felt a sense of apprehension or that fear to even think that my Lord would want to give me that, and why was that there? Because there was that fear. why would I not think Jesus wants to do that for me also and not just for one person? So I'm just piggybacking on what Brother Michael said, that yes, it does take us becoming vulnerable and forgetting about man and getting on one accord. And when that does really happen, when it becomes real, more real to than our, you know, the fear or the cares or what people think or how does this look, you know, I do believe that God will move upon that type of sincerity and like-mindedness just like he did on the day of Pentecost when we all are on one accord. I appreciate you for saying that because I don't feel like I had the courage to even ask that guy, oh, pray for that for me, even though in my heart I felt like, wow, I want that.
Well, see, that's just a ploy of the enemy. You know, that fear of man, that little fear of not saying or, you know, what do they think or, you know, whatever it is, the enemy keeps that inside of you and you never put light on it, you never expose it, it doesn't get prayer. And the thing is if you would expose that, there's two or three other people in the room that are dealing with the same thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, it's not just me.
Amen.
And that's the whole thing about testimonies. I try to be, you know, I mean, we all need to be as transparent as we can and expose the enemy, expose the lies, shine light on, you know, because all it is a lie in your head. It's just a stupid demon.
It's just divide and conquer.
Right. And that's the whole idea of this fellowship here. Is that we can pray for each other, we can lift each other up, we can, you know, just, I mean, if you're dealing with something, we can pray, you know, and then, you know, 30 people praying over something, that's, you know, when we put our faith together, I see that. I just see answered prayer, I see, you know, amazing things, and it's just, and you might not have the faith for it, but you got, you know, 30 other people that are believing for you, and that'll rock heaven. So,
well, how many of you got your faith lifted by listening to Tom talking about faith?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Mine went sky high, man. I'm ready to go out there and conquer all of hell's creation.
And that's the thing is, I mean, Tom has shared with me, he comes home from, you know, he comes home from work, and he just wants to go in his bedroom, get on his face, get before the Lord. He just starts praising the Lord, starts, you know, praying in the Spirit. And he'll spend a couple hours, 2-3 hours when he gets home, just, you know, just praising the Lord and just praying in the Spirit and, you know, just being led of the Lord. And, you know, he shared with me one time that it was, I mean, the presence was so heavy in his room that he could hear the angels talking so loud, he wanted to put his recorder on his phone because he was sure that it could be recorded. You know? And it's just like, I mean, and that's what he was sharing, that he's driving to work and he presses into the, you know, he just presses into the Lord and he doesn't even know how he gets to work, but the next thing you know, he's at work. And, I mean, to be able to, you know, walk in that realm, but the thing is we live in vanity. You know, we're just so concerned about what we see going on around us and have to know all, you know, what everybody's, you know, doing on the Internet and all this, you know, distractions and busyness keeps us from pressing in.
I wasn't only talking about the conference call. I was talking about our local fellowship as well. Anytime that believers get together, we ought to be seeking the Lord. I know there's times when we want to, you know, catch up on all the latest news, but what's first?
The Lord.